You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Wednesday, happy game day. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers tonight. The lovely Nets are hosting our Pacers in Brooklyn on their new gray court, which I will save my comments on that for another time. But with me to preview the game, former Nets Daily video guy, writing guy, everything guy, Nick Letourneau, who has vanished from my life, unfortunately. Nick, how are you? I'm glad to have you back.
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I'm here to chew bubblegum and talk about the Nets, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
I recently saw someone talk about Christian Wood. And how he was good in the G League because all you have to do to be a good G League center is be able to chew gum and run at the same time. And I thought,
oh, honestly,
the funniest like description of G League centers.
So for now, sure. If you are like 6'8 and don't, I mean, if you can just walk up and down the floor, you're going to have a job in the G League.
The Pacers G League affiliate just drafted Hasheem Thabeet in the G League draft. So
I get to, my God.
I know.
What a throwback.
Throwback name. Never played for the Nets, though. And we're talking about the Nets. So the Nets, what a summer. Wheeling and dealing. Torian Prince obviously acquired a big name. Just kidding. Obviously bringing in Kyrie and Kevin Durant is huge. Durant obviously out for the season. Doing every podcast live apparently as a guest. Kyrie, on the other hand, playing games and playing very well. 38 points per game through three games, including a 50-point explosion. Nearly hitting the best shot I've ever seen in a basketball game at the buzzer of their first game. Talk about Kyrie so far on the Nets. How's he looked for you guys?
I'm a really big fan of Kyrie so far. I know we're talking about it now, like right after that story broke by Jackie McMullen talking about how Kyrie is apparently the Nets are worried about him. I find that to be pretty unfounded. Whoever it was, I guarantee it was definitely someone that's no longer on the team because I can't imagine that ever really getting out. The Nets have always kind of been like Fort Knox when it comes to leaks. Kyrie's been just as advertised. Killer on offense. He currently leads the league in points per game. Can't forget about that.
Wow.
He has the Nets top four in three-point percentage, which that hasn't been something they've really been well at all since under Kenny Atkinson. And really loving how he fits next to Caris LeVert. So he's been as advertised for me so far.
Yeah, that 50-point explosion on opening night was just so sick. And he hit the clutch three, the Kyrie shot, right, that right wing one dribble in-your-face shot. And almost rolled on his back. Like, I just don't get how he makes some of these shots.
I don't know how he handles the ball like that. I mean, it was one thing to like fall down and like somehow get a shot off, but how he was able to maintain the handle on that is just
Do you think
insane.
He did it on purpose? Do you genuinely?
Oh no, that was 1000%. He fell down.
Your accident, team accident. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm team accident. If it was team purpose, that'd be pretty crazy.
I guess it was probably let's be honest, he did not mean to fall down, but like I think the second he started falling, he planned that recovery.
Yeah, he's like, all right, we're gonna spin, the ball's probably gonna be somewhere over here, and ooh, here we
I'll
go
be right under it. It just looked way too smooth to like be. I get that it's definitely an accident, but like that's been the best shot I've ever seen in my life, like at the buzzer, roll on your back. Like,
like that would have been just otherworldly.
So Kyrie's shooting 26 times a game and is at 46, 41, 93 splits. Just insane production for this team. And it's kind of weird because like I watched the Nets Grizzlies game and the Nets Timberwolves game. I did not catch your tremendous win over the New York Knicks. But it doesn't feel like he is shooting this much. It doesn't feel like he's hogging the ball this much. Like, Karis is looking pretty good. Dinwiddie is looking pretty good, although his shot's not really falling. Talk about, you know, those two guys specifically. They've been the other two scorers. You talked about Karis already. You know, I obviously Kyrie's been the guy. 26 shots is a lot, but it just doesn't feel like it. You know, they have a nice, diverse offense, and those guys deserve a shout.
Well, I think part of why there's the 26 shots and it doesn't feel like a lot is because there's been two overtime games out of three games played.
Yeah.
So, and obviously in the fourth quarter and overtime, he's going to be the guy that kind of handles that load. So is that going to be a sustainable number for the season? Not at all. Not even close. But Dinwiddie's been pretty good. Dinwiddie's been okay, in my opinion. He has a tendency to kind of take over, do more kind of solo ISO ball move, and just not move the ball. And it really kind of, in my opinion, disrupts things. It's kind of been, I don't want to say his MO since being there, but it's kind of like when things break down, he doesn't fall into the system. He kind of breaks down into his own personal, like, oh my God, I got to save the thing. I got to save the team. And that's not the case anymore. You know, LeVert is in year three or four. Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving. You got Joe Harris, who's just coming off of all this incredible experience with Team USA and is one of the best shooters in the league. So, like, there's other guys now. I mean, he's not fresh out of the D League from the Windy City Bulls coming into the Jeremy Lin first year where he went down with the injury. I mean, that's not this roster and that's not the situation anymore. So I wish he would continue to initiate the offense and kind of look outside of himself and not try and take a lot of insane shots. Because, I mean, right now he's shooting 29% from three, 36% from the floor. He's taking 12 shots per game. That's not something that I really want. And
that's not, no team wants that. That's bad.
Yeah, that's not ideal. I mean, we've definitely got additions like Taurean Prince, and I'm cautiously optimistic about him. He's really looked really, really good to start off.
I wanted the Pacers to trade for Taurean Prince last year when the Hawks were shopping him. I admittedly, I didn't watch the Hawks enough, and I think I a little bit overrated him at that time, but I like Taurean Prince. I think he's a good player.
I agree. He was one of the guys where it's kind of like, oh yeah, Taurean Prince. You know, he's an NBA player. That's good. But
that
I really
extension
want him.
Number made me go, what? But he's good, so I guess it's fine.
I mean, he played lights out in the preseason, and he's looked really good. He's looked pretty good so far. He had a lot of defensive concerns, in my opinion, against the Grizzlies. There is a
what a game.
Yeah, what a game. But Dylan,
you ever watched that overtime game? The Nets do not win the game, but it was fantastic. They should have won. They played very well.
Oh, yeah. But I got to say, the block by Ja at the end.
What a play. Moran is
what
a
play. I mean, what are you going to do?
Oh, yeah. And Kyrie did a good job. He set him up. He hit him with a good right dribble, step back, got a little space, and Morant's just like, nah. I can get up that high.
No, he's going to be a very special rookie. And not to get too off track, if Zion's out for a while, that's going to be rookie of the year, hands down.
Oh, absolutely.
But going back to Taurean Prince and his defense against Memphis, he let Dylan Brooks and Jared Jackson Jr. go a combined 5 of 10 from three, which is insane.
Yeah, the Pacers are getting killed by three, so I can totally relate to that. Tristan Thompson, Bruce Brown, and Christian Wood are a combined 7 for 8 from three against the Pacers this year.
Wow.
Which is just impossible. Which means Joe Harris is going to go like 8 for 10.
I hope so.
So that is on our Monday show, we preview every game for the week, and we pick a butcher from the other team, the guy that's most likely to kill the Pacers, and I pick Joe Harris because obviously he's very good, but he's hitting over 50% of 6 threes a game. Like, even if Jeremy Lamb returns, or even if Sumner plays, Sumner's off ball D has been bad this year. Like, they're going to have no answer for this dude. Like, that he's so good at getting his threes up so fast off movement, even off one dribble. He's just such a good shooter.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Joe Harris. There's one thing that is honestly kind of shocking, especially with how he would get to the rim the past few years. He has yet to take or attempt a free throw.
Oh, wow. Minutes. Wow, that's bad.
I was going through. He's averaging 35.9 minutes per game. He's played two overtime games. He's one of the best shooters in the league, and he hasn't taken a single free throw yet.
Yikes.
Very frustrating. But
I wonder if McDermott's taking a free throw now. I feel like he has taken a few. He hasn't. Doug McDermott doing the same thing.
Oof, that's interesting.
Shooteritis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the flip side, Joe Harris is shooting 52% from three and 50 from the floor.
So. Yeah, he is on fire.
Oof. Not bad. I think Joe Harris could definitely be a prime candidate to be the butcher. Taurean Prince is another candidate, although when he first got moved to Brooklyn, one of my friends, I'm sure you might know him, Graham Chappell, he writes for Peachtree Hoops. He covers the Hawks. He immediately DM'd me after like his hot preseason start, and he was like, yeah, it's like looking nice and everything, but it's like a guy that's really watched him play. It seems kind of like he's playing for the contract, and now he's kind of gotten the contract, and like he had a good first game. The next game was, you know, not too bad. The Memphis game was I kind of start to see the effort go away on defense. And so with that in the back of my mind constantly, I am a little concerned, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just don't get what the urgency was for that extension, but that's not for this time. We've been talking all Nets, and we'll talk more Nets, but I want to pivot here. You look at this matchup from these two teams on paper. What matchup scares you the most from a Nets perspective?
The front court, Sabonis and Turner. I mean, they could really eat Jared Allen's lunch this week or tomorrow or today, I guess.
So I have a question about Jared Allen before you finish your answer. What changed the decision to start DeAndre in the one game they started DeAndre?
His horrible, horrible mistakes in the first two games.
Okay.
There was a sequence against the Timberwolves that where he missed two free throws, then fouled Karl Anthony Towns on a three, and then missed another set of free throws. But it was like two sets of missed free throws and a foul on Karl Anthony Towns. And it was like the ultimate swing to get us into overtime. And then we eventually lost. And then the following game against the Knicks, he was just getting eaten alive by Mitchell Robinson. And he was just looking kind of out of sync with Kyrie. There were a couple, I noticed personally, I tweeted about it too, that there were a couple miscommunications on some pick and rolls. And after late in the game, Jarrett turned it over on an exchange. Kyrie stopped passing to him altogether. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Kyrie. Oh, Jesus. How long until Kyrie's best friend, DeAndre Jordan, sneaks into the lineup?
Next game.
It was the next game. So we'll see what happens. DeAndre Jordan is looking
bad.
Yeah, not great. Really not great. So we'll see how long Jared Allen stays in the doghouse. I want Allen to hit his free throws. Like, he's so talented and he's so good, but
so
he's not doing the basic things.
I actually like Jared Allen, like as a player in general.
Oh yeah,
but he cannot defend away from the rim. Correct.
He's showing potential. He needs to stop being so flat-footed. I think the potential's there, but I wouldn't say he's a good away from the rim defender yet.
And he's not particularly strong yet. Correct.
He's not. His strength right now is timing and knowing how to use his body to his advantage. He knows.
Hey, I know
he's
a center
not
like
strong.
That.
What?
I know a center like that.
Yeah, exactly. But
who also went to Texas?
Exactly. It's almost like Texas recruits a similar player profile.
Yeah, I just like with Sabonis and Turner, like you said, I just see no way, especially because the Nets start a smaller group, right? Their four mm-hmm. isn't big. I just see no way that Allen can contain whichever big they put him on. And I think that bodes well for the Pacers because there's going to be a small and big action. Now, there's obviously the other end of the floor where Sabonis is going to have to chase Prince around the perimeter, which is a little frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who Jared Allen's going to guard, and I don't think he can guard either big man well. And I know DeAndre Jordan cannot guard the perimeter well, so I also think that is a matchup that bodes well for the Pacers.
No, I definitely agree. I'm going into the season, I personally felt very good about Brooklyn's front court and the rotations and all the players we added. And I was like, okay, Jarrett's, you know, year three, here we go. DeAndre Jordan, he'll be like the veteran backup. And when, you know, Allen's getting his ass kicked by Embiid, we can throw DeAndre on him for a little bit and tire him out. And that just hasn't been the case so far. So it's kind of, I don't want to say I'm in panic mode or anything yet, but I'm definitely in concern mode.
I don't remember who said this, but I thought this was well put about DeAndre. They said DeAndre Jordan will not do anything that compromises his ability to get the rebound.
I think that's very fair.
So if he has to like slide to defend a guy, but it'll take him out of position to grab the miss, he won't do it. And on offense, it's the same kind of thing. And that, I think that's a good way to put his decline. You know, when he was really athletic and could move, he could get away with it. But now he's not as athletic. And I thought that was a good way to put it. I think the Pacers will try to attack him, but the guard play, Brogdon's been really good, but a lot of the guard play for the Pacers on offense has been really bad. And LeVert's a good defender, but Dinwiddie's just okay, and Harris is just okay, and Kyrie's at best okay. Like, in theory, pick and roll should be a way to get, you know, score on Jordan and Jared Allen, but the Pacers guard play doesn't pick it up. It might not matter.
Well, I don't know exactly. I haven't watched the Pacers play yet, and I know there's a ton of new pieces, so I can't really speak to exactly what kind of offense they run. But I was reading or slash watching a video breakdown by Matt Brooks of Nets Daily, And he brought up a bunch of key stats. I mentioned one of them where Memphis went 5-for-10 from deep on players that were defended by Taurean Prince. Another one is that the Nets allow 1.371 points per possession on catch and shoot attempts, which is good for...
My God, that's a lot.
Good for 29th of 30 in the league. Okay. So if the Pacers can get hot, they can catch and shoot. If they can just get to where they want to on the perimeter, there's a chance that they're going to have a good night.
Well, they cannot. They are last in the league in attempts right now per game. 16. Wow. Only 16.
The Nets have allowed so far 59 total wide open threes, again, according
wide
to
open
Nets
only?
Daily.
59 wide open only. Wide wow.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, you'd
okay,
almost
that's,
think
that's
that,
really bad.
At that point, we could throw on the gold jerseys and go out there.
The Pacers have only taken 70 total.
Why?
There's going to be a – if you got 59 wide open NBA threes, how many would you make?
Oh, man. At least five. At least, you know.
I was
depending
thinking
on,
10 in my head.
And if it's empty in the arena, maybe 10. If there's people around, under five.
A screaming coach and fans, yeah, five to 10 is about.
Yeah, five in there.
Oh man, that's funny. It feels like teams are shooting high school threes against the Pacers this year. They're just raining everything. I gotta give credit to Danny LaRue for that line. I saw him tweet that today. They've also been getting killed in the glass. They're last in total rebounding. Their opponents are ninth. Some of that's that they've played Drummond twice already, which is going to skew that. But you know, like I said, DeAndre won't do anything to compromise his rebounding because he will get rebounds. So they gotta box him out. They gotta get their misses. But really, you know, I don't want to simplify basketball. It's not that simple, but. And if you slow down Kyrie, I think that the Pacers can do some stuff this game. And Brogdon's done a good job on DE this season. His biggest struggle is fast guards, and Kyrie is very fast. But I think a lot of the matchup comes down to can Brogdon dictate what Kyrie is doing at all times.
I think it's going to be really what makes Kyrie work on offense. And if he can really annoy him, stick to his hip. I mean, what I'm most curious, and this is going to happen at some point in the season because it's 82 games. I want to see what happens when someone takes Kyrie Irving out of the game. When Kyrie Irving is a non-factor, he is cold. I mean, he's kind of gone through a couple streaks so far in the first three games, but he always pulls right back out of it. When it's not working for Kyrie and we're still without Kevin Durant, who's going to be the person that steps up? And I think that Caris LeVert could do it. I think Joe Harris is a guy that could hit big shots. I think Taurean Prince might be. You know, we'll see. But and Dinwiddie's a guy who's, I think a couple of years ago, he was on the list for like highest game-winning field goal percentages or something. So, I mean, there's definitely guys that can take and make shots now when Kyrie isn't feeling it. So it'll be interesting to see if Brogdon can kind of take Kyrie out of his game and then what would happen when that happens.
Yeah, they're going to need him too. Derrick Rose is the only guy that's really made him work. You know, Derrick Rose is really fast. The Cavs, young guys, kind of, but that was just a weird game. I can't really explain that Cavs game to anyone that didn't watch it. You just kind of got to see, like, every 50-50 ball went one way and every pick and roll mess with it. It was all a disaster. Tell me something about the Nets that I don't know, because – I have a lot of questions about the Nets, and I keep asking like player by player, and I don't want to keep going that way. I want you to tell me something interesting about the Nets to watch for this game.
Something interesting to watch for. I got to say, how Garrett Temple does. I know that's
Garrett
he's
Temple.
A guy. Garrett Temple. I think Garrett Temple is someone who he's only played about 18 minutes per game so far, and he's someone when he signed, I was weirdly excited about it, and I feel like he's gonna the bench is deep enough where he's gonna be someone where when like Taurean Prince isn't feeling it or something like that, Garrett Temple's gonna have like, oh my god, is that Garrett Temple? He's gonna have a couple of those games. And if you never know, I mean, if our regular guys aren't really feeling it, he might step up.
I wanted Garrett Temple for the Pacers this summer for a little second there. I still think they could use his help on the wing, and he's shooting a ridiculous percentage this year.
I mean,
I'm
so
sorry.
Far.
Yeah, he's on a. Excuse me, I'm looking at David Nwaba. Garrett Temple has not shot well this year at all. I like Garrett Temple in general. He's a really good defender. I think the Pacers need a vet like that on their bench because their bench has been atrocious. which is another thing I wanted to ask you, because I look at this Nets bench, and Dinwiddie is clearly good, and Dinwiddie can score. But DeAndre has to be set up and really cannot create his own shot. Temple, Nwaba also can't. Kurucs can, but I don't assume he gets the ball very much in the ecosystem of this team, and he only plays 10 minutes a game. Has the Nets bench not been very good? Because the Pacers bench has been horrible.
The Nets bench, I got to say, in the first three games, it's kind of tough to watch anyone but Kyrie. The Nets bench has been a tiny bit underwhelming at times. I know that's something that the Nets have kind of always been like next man up in a little way, which sounds very cheesy, but in a sense it's true. I mean, they've suffered from so many injuries since forever that someone has had to eventually step up. And in the past season, couple seasons, I mean, they went to playoffs last year. They've kind of had steady growth the past couple of years. Someone has always stepped up, and there's always been a very strong bench. And so I'm nervous to see for this team if there's not a good bench to fall back on. And I think we're seeing that kind of around the league now. When there's teams that don't have a bench you can fall back on, chances are they're not going to be the best. And when, you know, it hits the fan, there's no one that can help clean up what's going on.
Yeah, the Pacers have seen that this year. Their bench has been so bad. I mean, they've had multiple moments where they just cannot get to the basket or create a free throw. You know, McConnell can't do anything. They're not playing Aaron Holiday. McDermott's relying on others to get a shot up. Justin Holiday also, I mean, he can dribble a little bit. So they just get stuck in these reserve lineups. It depends who the starters that are out there with them are. And even then, it just doesn't matter. Their bench has been so bad. And that's why, you know, I always, like with the Nets, I looked at it and I said, they have a lot of kind of immobile dudes who are more capable than the Pacers bench. Like, is that better? Yes, it's better. How much better? Because the Pacers have just been bleeding points with their bench, and they need to catch up this time, especially because Kyrie's the best player on the court. So I do worry about the bench versus bench minutes in this game for the Pacers.
I think my biggest bench concerns for the Nets is defense. I think lot has been put into,
okay.
I mean, well, in this game, in general defense, but in this game, we'll probably be fine. I don't know how we're going to do in the front court, but defense is always going to be my biggest concerns with these teams, because it's so easy to plug in guys to this type of offense. You know, you can get someone that can pass well, you can get someone that can catch lobs, you can get someone that can shoot threes, and chances are they're going to fit and work in the offense. But defense has kind of always been Brooklyn's biggest downfall, and especially this year.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, just given their roster in general, right? Man, you want to make this Nets team pretty good? No. Adding a guy like Kevin Durant.
I know. God, if only there was a guy he could come in and be a threat on offense and kind of pick up the slack on defense. Oh, jeez, defend multiple positions, put pressure on the opposing scorers.
When I was they were talking to me through how the Forbes writing process would work on the phone, he was basically telling me, like, yeah, try not to do like too many news blurbs unless it's a big deal, like Kevin Durant signs with the Pacers or something. And I said, Chris, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not gonna have to write that one.
that's one that's not gonna happen. So don't worry.
I'm gonna tell you right now that I don't have to do that. He said, yeah, you're probably right. I can't wait to watch him next year. It's kind of weird, like a limbo. Like, how do the Nets treat? Are the Nets treating this year as like a punt year? Like, no, this isn't really related to this game, but you know, they have Kyrie and he's trying, and they're trying to win clearly, and they've had some bad bounces. But like, it makes sense kind of as a development year, but they also extended these guys. Maybe not. I don't know. That's kind of an interesting spot. I haven't really thought of it like that for a while.
I know they think that they can win now. And not win now as far as like challenge the title without Kevin Durant, but they definitely know that they're a playoff team with Kyrie Irving and these teams. I mean, we were a playoff team with D'Angelo Russell last year, and I was a big fan of D'Lo, but this is Kyrie Irving. So just the sheer fact of plugging in Kyrie Irving into D'Angelo Russell's shoes, this is already going to be at least a playoff team, at the very least a 5 seed, 6 seed. So,
yeah. Oh yeah.
In my opinion, at least. And the second Kevin Durant gets back, and he's looking like he's progressing ahead of schedule. No one's forcing him back. No one in Brooklyn has ever rushed any player back from an injury. I mean, you can see the proofs in the pudding with Jeremy Lin. And when Kevin Durant returns, this is really going to get interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Nick, you don't write anymore, so I don't have any of your work to plug, which I usually do at the end of these shows.
That's okay. I mean, you never know. In the near future, might be launching a nice little Nets subscription-based email newsletter.
Good.
You know, keep your eyes out for that.
Do you have should people follow Nets Daily still? Do you still like the work that they put up? I do.
I'm always going to support Nets Daily. Always going to support Nets Republic. Love my Nets sites. I know Justin Carter, he took over managing Nets Republic, old friend of the program. Both love him. Wishing all those guys the best.
Yeah, Nets coverage going to ramp up as the team enters their first era of dominance in the Brooklyn era. It's going to be awesome. Nick can be followed. Is it Nick _ LT? Is that correct?
That's correct. Good
Nick
memory.
_ LT on Twitter. Of course, you can follow the show at Locked On Pacers. Nick, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And we will recap this game tonight. We will see you guys very soon.